much here, Yari and Ibeni.
Let me hear you say it loud and clear. That every one of you, from now on, you will begin to excel.
Amen.
Who is the one fellow that you will stand beside him or her and say, you are the one who will get my attention?
Allows you to enter into overflowing blessings.
Redemption Way.
The Lord is going to surprise someone here tonight.
Join Pastor E.A. Adeboye and other men of God every first Friday of the month as they lead multitudes of worshippers to the presence of God in the monthly Holy Ghost service at the Redemption Camp, Kilometer 46, Lagos Ibadan Expressway, from 6:30 p.m. to dawn. You're watching Redemption Way.
Sun rises tomorrow, someone will have a new beginning. Now, if you are that one, let me hear you shout hallelujah. Psalm 30, from verse 1 to 5. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. To the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. By the time the sun rises, somebody here will be singing a new song. Yeah. If you believe that, let your amen be loud and clear. The theme of our gathering is a new dawn. Now, a dawn simply means the beginning of a new day. Just that moment when light begins to break through the darkest period of night. So a new dawn, therefore, could be the beginning of joy as a result of several things happening. See, this passage says, weeping may endure for a night, joy cometh in the morning. I believe joy is coming. A new dawn could be the beginning of joy as a result of healing. Somebody who has been sick, who comes in here sick tonight, who will go home tomorrow morning healed, definitely is going to call the morning a new dawn. In Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 8, Acts 3, verse 1 to 8, the Bible tells us the story of a man who was born lame. He has been lame for over 40 years. And then all of a sudden, he had an encounter with the Almighty God. And his ankle bones received strength. The Bible tells us that when he got up, he was walking and leaping and praising God. I am believing God for all those who came here sick. Now, by the time you are going home in the morning, you'll be walking and leaping and praising God. Because the God who healed that lame man is here today. And according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, 1 Peter 2, verse 24, the Bible made it clear that by his stripes ye were healed. Not going to be healed, you were already healed. You were just waiting for this particular day. And that's why I said you should pray, Lord, I have been waiting. Let this be my night, and it will be your night in Jesus' name. A new dawn could be the beginning of joy as a result of deliverance. When you read Psalm 126 from verse 1 to 3, Psalm 126 from verse 1 to 3, the Bible said, when the Lord turned the captivity of his people, he said, we were like them that were dreaming. He said, our mouth was filled with laughter. I believe that somebody will go home laughing this morning because the captivity will be turned. I believe that the one who is called the Lord of hosts is coming in here today to set the captives free. The Bible says in Psalm 107 verse 20, Psalm 107 verse 20, he said he sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. So whatever it is that is holding you down, whatever is holding you bound, even as the word of God is going forth now, you'll be free in Jesus' name. The Bible says in John chapter 8 verse 36, John 8 verse 36, it said, whomsoever the Son shall set free shall be free indeed. True deliverance, true freedom does not require a lot of struggle. When God wants to set you free, it doesn't take a whole night of somebody sweating and slapping you and pushing you around. All that God needs to set you free is speak a word. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 8 verse 16, Matthew 8 verse 16, he said he cast out devils with his word. And the word has gone out to somebody now. You will be free tonight. A new dawn could be the beginning of joy as a result of a breakthrough. In 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1 to 9, Second Kings chapter 7 from verse 1 to 9, the Bible tells us the story of four lepers who were at the gate of a city that had been besieged. And the poverty was at an extreme. The famine was extreme, so bad that women were eating their children. And then the word of God came and said within 24 hours, the tide would turn. Now, some people didn't believe. A particular lord, somebody who thought he knew economics more than God, said that this cannot be. Well, the man of God said the word had gone forth. He said, well, you will see it, but you will not partake of it. And then there were some four lepers who felt that, well, if we stay here, we will die. We better as well go to the enemy. Maybe they will give us some food before they kill us. But we say, well, let's just go. And you know the rest of the story. By the time they arrived at the camp of the enemy, they found a lot of food, a lot of clothes, and plenty of money. And the people who woke up in the morning destitute ended up making fixed deposit in a very peculiar bank. They were hiding the money before they remembered that this is a day of rejoicing. I don't know exactly who I'm speaking to, but I have a feeling that this meeting was called so that an end can come to your life of poverty. After all, the Bible says in 3 John verse 2, it says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So I'm believing God for you that beginning from today, you will begin to prosper in Jesus' name. Now, when we talk about a new dawn, we could be talking about the beginning of joy as a result of fruitfulness. In Genesis chapter 21, verse 1 to 6, Genesis 21, verse 1 to 6, the Bible tells us that when Sarah gave birth to Isaac at the age of 90, she laughed. She called the name of that child Laughter. Why? He said, because God has made me to laugh. Now, I have good news for all of you who are trusting God for the fruit of the womb. 9 months from today, you too will say, God has made me to laugh. After all, the Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 5, John 15, verse 5, he said, if only you abide in me and my word abide in you, you bring forth much fruit. He didn't even say you bring forth a little bit of fruit. He said you bring forth much fruit. God knows how much bearing fruit means to human beings. Our God hates barrenness. If you read Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, you will note that the first thing he says to the two people that he created, male and female, Genesis 1:28, is that after he blessed them, he commanded them, he said, be fruitful and multiply. And so all of you who have been making fruitless efforts in one way or the other, who have been barren in one aspect of your life or the other, from now on, you'll be fruitful in Jesus' name. One of the testimonies that is still making us rejoice back home was the story of a lady who was barren and was believing God for a set of twins. She said, God, because I've been barren for a while, now give me a set of twins as a compensation. And I was ministering just like this when I heard God say, and like I told the people when she was sharing the testimony, occasionally I hear some things from God that even I find a bit difficult to believe. Because God said there was someone in the crowd, barren, believing me for a set of twins. And God asked me to tell her that God had decided to give her four. And I was saying, oh Lord, twins will be good enough. But God said four. And 9 months later, she had four. if you have four once, do you need to worry again? So all of you are believing God for the fruit of the womb. How many do you want? Someone said, in the midst of economic meltdown, four might not be. Oh, glory be to God. A new dawn could be the beginning of joy as a result of promotion. Particularly promotion that comes suddenly, promotion that is unexpected, promotion that is uncommon. I mean, you know very well, in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14 to 23, 2 Samuel 6, verse 14 to 23, the Bible said David was dancing before the Ark of the Covenant with all his might. He danced so much that his belly came out of his dress. And the wife looked down from the window, saw him dancing, and despised him. I said, look at yourself. You call yourself a king. See the way you are dancing as if you were just a commoner. You know what he said? I said, I was dancing before God. The God who saw me as a shepherd boy and made me a king. The God who took the kingdom from your father and gave it to me. He said, that's the person I'm dancing for. I have a feeling that somebody is here today that before the end of this month, when they see you praising God, they're going to ask, are you crazy? If you are the one, let me hear you say amen. And I have assurance that based on the word of God, Psalm 75, verse 6 to 7, Psalm 75, verse 6 to 7, Bible tells us that promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or south, but it comes from God who can lift up one and put down another. I believe that that God is here to promote somebody tonight. You don't mind me telling you some testimonies, right? Because after all, we don't meet every month here. There was this young man, because of the situation in the economies of every nation, the people in his office began to compile the list of those that will be sacked. And they had written down his name. And somebody who saw his name in the list of those to be sacked phoned him and said, I'm sorry, you are gone. Then he came to what we call it Holy Ghost Night. You call it Festival of Life. Whichever one, I prefer the Holy Ghost Night. But Festival of Life is good. Amen. So he came and said, Lord, over to you. They say they want to sack me. You know I have no one else but you. And the Almighty God spoke to him and said, don't mind them. Those who say they want to sack you, long after they are gone, you will still be rising. By Monday, he got to the place of work expecting a letter of sack. Instead, he got a letter of promotion. You know what happened? They took the list to the chairman of the board. And the chairman read through and saw his name and said, No. Why do you want to sack this fellow? I know this fellow. He's a Christian, hardworking, conscientious. Why do you want to sack him? They said, well, there are too many people in his level. He said, well, if there are too many in his level, then move him up. Promotion is coming the way of somebody here today. If you are the one, let me hear you shout hallelujah. So when we talk about a new dawn, we're talking about the beginning of joy. Beginning of joy as a result of healing, as a result of deliverance, as a result of financial breakthrough, as a result of fruitfulness, as a result of unexpected promotion. Now, associated with dawn is a word called breakthrough. You see, because the dawn is also called daybreak. And when you talk about something breaking, you are talking about something a little bit violent. There's an element of violence involved in the dawn. The very first day that ever happened took the Almighty God making a divine proclamation, "Let there be light." And there was light. In other words, God had to command with his almighty authority to say to darkness, "Darkness, give way." And that same God is going to make a proclamation to somebody tonight. He's going to say to someone, "Let there be light." Thank you, Father. The Lord said, "There's someone here tonight. He asked me to tell you, say, I am coming directly in your direction." The Lord said, "There's a woman here. He said, your tummy is always hot, which is why you have not become pregnant. He said, what is causing the heat has been removed." It's going to be a big night. The Lord said, "There's someone here tonight." He said, "You have been dreaming of graves recently. He asked me to tell you, those who dug the graves will be buried in them." All right. Now, so there is associated with dawn an element of violence. For example, when you read Genesis 32 from verse 24 to 29, Genesis 32 from verse 24 to 29, you will discover that Jacob got his new dawn as a result of an all-night wrestling. He said, "I'm tired with my past. I want a new beginning. I want a new name. I want a new destiny." And he had to wrestle all night for him to get a new dawn. When you read 1 Samuel chapter 1 from verse 9 to 18, 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 9 to 18, you see that Anna prayed vigorously before she got a new dawn, before her barrenness was over, and she became the mother of first a child and then several children. Now there are those who will tell you that when Hannah was praying, she was praying quietly because the mouth was moving and the voice was not heard. And so they will tell you that it was a very gentle prayer. I beg to disagree. And I will give you an illustration of what exactly I believe happened on that day. Several years ago, things are different now, I was visiting a lady, and on that day, she wanted to circumcise her son. And like I said, several years ago, the circumcision is done in the house. You don't go to the hospital to do it. And it is done without any anesthetics. So you can imagine a little boy, 7 days old, and somebody comes around with a very sharp blade. First of all, they pull the foreskin. As soon as they began to pull the foreskin, the baby began to cry. But the mother put the breast in his mouth to stop the crying. And then the baby was managing with that. Then the blade came and cut off the foreskin. You can imagine the pain. And this time, the baby flung away the breast and began to really, really scream. And then the midwife went ahead cutting and trimming, and the baby kept on screaming. And then to prevent germs coming, there is something they call iodine. I don't know if you have anything like that here. But if anybody has ever put iodine on your wound before, you will know it is like putting fire on your skin. And so the midwife finally poured iodine on the fresh wound. And I saw the mouth of that child moving. And no sound was coming. Because the pitch of his cry has reached a level that ordinary ears cannot hear. That was what happened when Hannah was praying. She prayed so hard, nobody could hear what she was saying, but God heard. And God is going to hear the cry of somebody here today. If you are the one, let me hear you shout, "Help me, O Lord!" If you read Mark chapter 5, verse 25 to 34, Mark 5 from 25 to 34, you will discover that the woman with the issue of blood didn't walk casually to Jesus Christ to receive her healing. Jesus Christ was surrounded by a crowd. The Bible says she pressed through the crowd. In other words, she forced her way through to get to that hem of the garment which she touched, and she got a healing. When you read Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 12, Mark 2, verse 1 to 12, it tells you the story of a man who was paralyzed from neck downwards, and he was brought in by four young men. They wanted a new dawn for their friend. When they arrived, they found that the doors were jammed with people. The windows were blocked by people. They climbed to the roof and they broke the roof. There's an element of violence involved when we are talking about a new dawn. Violent faith, violent prayer, the kind of faith that could be seen. The Bible says Jesus saw their faith. And the man they carried in walked out. I have good news for somebody here today. Things are about to change. Amen. Do I hear you say amen? Amen? The Bible says in Matthew 11 verse 12, Matthew 11 verse 12, he said, from the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force. One of the problems with many of us Christians is that particularly those of you in civilized countries, is that you have reduced prayer to something sophisticated. When you want to pray serious prayer, you don't really check the grammar. You don't pray and say, "Lord, you know, I'm a graduate of University of Toronto, therefore you must help me now." A woman in the labor room, just getting ready to push forth and bring forth a baby, doesn't remember how many degrees she has. She's interested in only one thing. I want this baby to come out. I don't want to talk about what happens in the labor room. They've called me there once or twice, and many of these ladies who look so sophisticated, they are not so sophisticated when in that place. So when it is time to pray tonight, I'm expecting you to pray with all your heart, because the Almighty God is going to do something special tonight. Do I hear you say amen? Now, oh, thank you, Father. The Lord said there's somebody here who have been losing focus in the two eyes. Your two eyes have not been focusing very well recently. Lord asked me to tell you, he's giving you a new pair of eyes. Lord said there's someone here, he said, from your waist down, you've been feeling a kind of heaviness that have been giving you a lot of bother. Lord asked me to tell you, he's taking care of that also. It might be today a special day for sisters. The Lord said there's someone here, he said, contrary to what the doctors have said, you will still have babies. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. I want to preach, but he's talking. The Lord said there is someone here tonight, he said, they are already saying you are almost finished. He asked me to tell you, you are just about to begin. Now, when we talk about, you know, the violent taking things by force, it reminds me of a story that happened just in the USA. We were going to have a Holy Ghost night like this, and the place we were using had no special room where I can stay to pray before coming on stage. So they brought a motor home and parked it by the side of the place. So I was inside there, I was praying. And then it was time for me to go, to come in. And there was a woman who was standing, hanging around. She knew that if she tried to come near, you know, all these big, what do you call them, bodyguards, and they wouldn't let her come near. So she saw me coming out, saw the bodyguards, and she looked away from them as if to say, no, I'm not interested in coming near him. So as soon as she looked away, they also looked away. But as soon as I moved away from the door of the motorhome, she dashed in. The people were looking after me, they were not looking after the door. She dashed in and went straight to the chair I was sitting on, sat on it and said, aha, I receive. And that month she became pregnant. She took it by force. She was violent about it. Before they could shut the doors, she said, you can do what you like now. I've already got what I want. Somebody will receive a miracle right now in Jesus' name. Now, when we talk about a new dawn, there are two aspects to it. One aspect is that there is somebody who has been in darkness all along and is about to have the first light. For example, in John chapter 9, verse 1 to 7, John chapter 9, verse 1 to 7. The Bible talks about a man who was born blind. And Jesus and his disciples saw him. And the disciples were asking Jesus Christ, who sinned that this man was born blind? Himself or the parents? Oh, Jesus Christ said, it's not a matter of sin now. It's just that I want to show you how you were created. So he spat on the ground. He said, you see, you were made from mud. Made some mud there, put where the eyes were supposed to be, and told the man to go and take his wash his eyes, and he came back seeing. That man was seeing light for the first time. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, the Bible tells us the story of a woman, a widow. Her husband was one of the sons of the prophets, one of those who believed very firmly that if you are rich, you will go to hell. And so he died poor and left the wife with a lot of debt. So throughout the life of this woman, she had never known prosperity. It had been hardship all along. But then in a single day, a woman who owed so much that creditors wanted to take her two sons and sell them into bondage had more than enough It was our very first taste of abundance. I have good news for somebody here today. After tonight, anything called poverty will become a stranger to you. I've shared the testimony before of one of my sons that usually will come to me and say, "Daddy, pray for me. I need help. I want financial breakthrough." Was a very poor fellow. So one day, he wrote to me and said, "Daddy, thank God for your prayers. God has prospered me. I've got a breakthrough." He said, "I have won a contract for $50 million. Shall we call it $50 million so that we understand?" And when I read the letter, I just laughed. I thought, you know, when they write a figure, they will always put .00 at the end when we are talking about money. I thought he ignored the point. I added the 2 zeros. Because I knew he was such a wretched fellow. If he had said he won a contract for 500,000, I would believe. 50 million? But then at the end of the month, he sent me a check. He said, "Daddy, because you are the one who prayed," he said, "I have paid my tithe, I've given my offering, but I want you to share in the blessing." And he sent me a check for 5 million. Then I knew that it looks as if this boy is correct. So he came to me and I blessed him. And those of you who had ever given me gifts, you know my normal prayer. I said, "Next time will be more." And he went away rejoicing. Now, the governor who gave him the contract came to inspect the work. And this is the first time that this boy was getting that kind of work. He hasn't learned the ropes yet. So he did a very good job. Spent the money the way he said he would spend the money, etc., etc. And so the governor was extremely impressed and said, "You are the kind of person I've been looking for, someone who would do a good job and do it in good time." He said, "Follow me to the office." And he followed him to the office, and he gave him another contract for $2 billion. And he came back after the executing that one and gave me another gift. I won't tell you how much. That's none of your business now. And I prayed for him. I said, "Next time will be more." If I tell you where he is now, you won't even believe. He had his first glimpse of financial breakthrough. And everything continued from that moment till now. There's somebody here today. You're going to have your first taste of success after tonight in Jesus' name. Now, oh, thank you, Father. And occasionally when I hear something from God that is very good, I always say amen to it first. Somebody says, "Selfless is not selfishness." I want to claim it before I tell you. You can then join me. That's no problem. But the Lord said, there's someone here tonight. He said, "Before this year ends, you will weep for joy." Now, I said there are two aspects to a new dawn. A new dawn could be somebody had never seen light before, is seeing light for the first time. A new dawn could mean that someone had light before, had a breakthrough before, lost it, and now it's about to get a second one. You see, between every 2 days, there must be a night. You can never have 2 days without a night in between. That's why I'm rejoicing with those of you who are passing through a night now. Another day is coming. There are several examples you can take Daniel chapter 4 from verse 28 to 37. Daniel 4, 28 to 37 is the story of Nebuchadnezzar. He was a king. Then he misbehaved and became an animal. And then he was restored and went straight back to his throne. You can take another example, Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 to 15. Exodus 3, verse 1 to 15. Moses was a big man in Egypt. And then he tried to move before God was ready. And God sent him into exile for 40 years. At the age of 80, he thought that his life was almost over. And the Almighty God said, no, 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 I'm about to begin with you. I have a feeling deep within me that the bush is about to begin to burn for someone. Between 2 days, there is always a night. And then, for something new to begin, something old must end. If you read Genesis, thank you, Father. Lord said there's someone here tonight, he said, be assured, I will turn the table against your adversaries. Hallelujah. Lord asked me to tell someone here tonight, he said, in spite of all that has happened, you will yet succeed. Oh, my. The Lord said, there's someone here tonight, he said, your peers think that you are already succeeding. The Lord asked me to tell you, they have not seen anything yet. I was saying in Genesis chapter 1, if you read from verse 1 to 5, Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1 to 5, when the Bible tells us in the beginning, God created heaven and earth, earth was without form and void, darkness covered the face of the deep, etc. He ended by saying, and the evening and the morning was the first day. Now what does that tell you? The day of God always begins with an evening. It doesn't say, and the morning and the evening, the first day. No, no, no. He said, and the evening and the morning, the first day. Anytime God wants to start something new, something old must end. He will close a door before he opens another. That is why I am sure that God is about to close the door against sorrow in the life of someone tonight. That's why I'm sure he's about to close the door against sickness in the life of somebody tonight. That's why I'm sure he's about to close the door against failure in the life of someone tonight. That's why I'm sure he's about to close the door against fruitless efforts in the life of someone tonight. When you read Joshua chapter 1 from verse 1 to 8, Joshua 1 from verse 1 to 8, God said, Moses is dead. Joshua, it is your turn. The one who brought them out of Egypt is dead. It is now your turn to take them to the promised land. When you read 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 to 15, 2 Kings chapter 2 from verse 1 to 15, the Bible made it clear, Elijah is gone, now it is time for Elisha. Something must end for something new to begin. If you are not willing to let the old go, the new will never come. It's interesting that the Almighty God has fixed this meeting for a night, so that tonight, all those things you don't want anymore can be rolled away. So that as we go into the morning, it will be a brand new beginning. I want to stop briefly here now to give room for several other things. I'll be coming back to continue. But you see, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what? He's a new creature. What did he say next to that one? All things are passed away. And what become new? All things. Before all things can become new, all things must pass away. That's why all of you were here who have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. Even as this very moment, it's time for you to take a decision. Because if you are expecting a new dawn, all things must pass away. They must. The way you've been doing things must change. Your way of thinking must change. The life of sin must end. Believe me honestly, if you really, really want a new dawn, you're about to lose some friends. All those friends that used to lure you into sin, you're about to say bye-bye to them. All those friends that you used to get drunk with, all those friends that you used to fornicate with, all those friends that you used to defraud with, they are about to go. Because if you are not willing to let the old go, the new will not come. It just won't happen. The reason why many of us are where we are, the reason why many of us claim that we have prayed and prayed and nothing happens, is because we want the new and we want to hold on to the old. It's not going to happen. I'm telling you the truth. Before I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I was a young man, doing very well, a lecturer in the university. At my age, I was less than 30 years old. I was already married, had children, built a house, had a car, doing very well. So I had a lot of friends, professionals, lawyers, doctors, soldiers, bankers, sailors. It was quite popular. And my sailor friends, when they sail, they bring back hot drinks from all over the world. And my friends will come to visit me. And when they come, I mean, what will you have? Oh, scotch on the rock, whiskey, four fingers. Oh, you don't know, I know that language. And I've been there. Then I met the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Then all those hot drinks vanished. And then my friends will come. What will you have? Coke? Fanta? They said, what kind of joke is that? You know, I lost all of them. And I discovered that it wasn't me they love. It was what they could get. I lost all of them. But God replaced them with many, 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 many more. Look at all my friends now. Look. And I have them by the millions all over the world. By the millions. Every nation of the world. Today, the Redeemed Christian Church of God is in 117 countries. Everywhere I go, friends. People wanting to greet me, wanting to shake hands. People who will be delighted if I could only say, I'm coming to your house to eat lunch. But the old had to go for the new to come. So those of you who have not given your life to Jesus Christ, this is decision time. I want you to come and stand before me right now and say, Lord, I want to surrender my life to you. I want you to take the old away and bring the new in. I'm going to count from 1 to 10. If by the time I say 10, you are not already standing before me, I know you don't want to come. You want to stay with the old. That's your choice. There's nothing I can do about that. But if you want to give your life to Jesus, come on, keep coming. God bless you, my sister. You can begin to come now. I begin to count. 1, 2, 3. See, if you have never sinned, come. It's waiting for you. And there might be some of you who used to be born again. You have tasted of the goodness of the Lord. Then you slip back into sin. Come for restoration. Come back to him. Let everything begin afresh. 7. This is your day. This is your day of salvation. This is your day of restoration. Come quickly. Hurry up. God bless you. I can see you coming. Oh, what will my friends say if they see me going forward? How many of your friends can give you a new beginning? How many of them can solve your problems? Please leave the friends alone and come to the Maker, your Maker, the Almighty God. The one who can give you a brand new beginning. 8 now. Hurry up. This is your day. Let's give the Lord a big round of applause and encourage these people as they come. Keep coming. The Lord is calling you. You must come to him if you want to surrender your life to him now. 9. That's the last countdown now. So hurry up quickly. Those of you who are on the way. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. I wait for just 10 seconds or so more. Yes, come quickly. You may want to decide right now. Hurry up and come and give your life to Jesus Christ. If you say you are born again and you are still living in sin, then you are deceiving yourself. He that is born of God does not sin. So if you want to come, come quickly. The Lord will give you the genuine salvation. This is your day. Thank you, Father. My Father, my God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your word that has already gone forth. And I want to thank you for the souls that you have already brought to yourself. Father, please accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Now, my Father, my God, please remember your promise that whosoever will come unto you, you will no wise cast out. These your children have come now. Please receive them in Jesus' name. And I pray that the power that is in your blood will wash away all their sins in Jesus' name. Save their souls. Write their names in the book of life. And from now, any time they call upon you, please answer them in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that before the sun rises, these your children will have a brand new beginning. Thank you, Father. And I pray that they will never go back into the world in Jesus' name. In your kingdom, don't let them be found wanting. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen.
There is a Redeemed Christian Church of God very close to you. Join them for a life-changing experience in worship. us on this same station at this time next week for another wonderful experience as Pastor E.A. Adeboye exposes the deep mysteries in the Word of God.